This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. You've probably heard the saying, nobody likes a lawyer until they need one. Joke writers and comics like to say there are too many lawyers, and in some cities in the U.S., that is the case now. But in many parts of the country, people in need of a lawyer can't find one. This imbalance is causing legal system delays in some areas while making it difficult for lawyers to find work in others. And joining us to discuss this problem and how law schools are addressing it are Mina Jefferson, Assistant Dean and Director of the Center for Professional Development at the University of Cincinnati College of Law, and Jeffrey Standen, Dean and Professor of Law at NKU Chase College of Law. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, both of you. Thank you for being here.
Mark, thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
Mina, could you define the problem for us? Is this a case of too many law school graduates and not enough jobs, or is this a case of not enough new lawyers to meet demand, or is it some combination of both these things?
I suspect that it's a combination of both, and actually, the economy notwithstanding, it is well known that 80% of need at a certain level, legal need, is gone. It's just not met. So that is well known even prior to the economy and the direction in which it headed. So some of it is resources and how to best direct them. Some of it is incentivizing that kind of work, public interest work, for recent graduates to pursue. Often the salaries are at the lower end of the spectrum, at the entry level, and may not make sense or appear palpable to those graduates that might be interested in that kind of work. So it's a little bit of both, I would say.
So if I understand this correctly, Jeff, there's actually an imbalance, it sounds like, in the legal profession. On the one hand, there's a glut of lawyers in some places, but on the other hand, there's a shortage in other parts of the country.
No, that's right. And lawyers, I think, have long been attracted to the bright lights in the big city of law practice, and that's wonderful. We always want to encourage that. But sometimes, as Dean Jefferson suggests, things can get a little bit out of balance. And at this point in our country, and certainly within our local areas, we just have unmet needs in the rural areas and small town areas throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky and Indiana and Ohio as well. So it's going to be important for law schools like ours to create programs and incentive programs to encourage our graduates to consider those options.
So the glut that we're seeing is in the cities, the rural areas are where we're seeing an impact because of shortages. And I take it this is even things that like basic legal needs. People just can't get basic legal needs met.
That is correct. And in Ohio, approximately 50% of our counties would be considered to be rural. And I recently spoke with the Ohio State Bar Association and did learn that there are attorneys in each of our 88 counties. So that's the good news. In terms of making legal service accessible, part of it also is how to make the process, access to the process, easier in terms of perhaps enabling people to be able to pursue some matters on their own or in a pro se fashion. Making the forms available that would allow a consumer to do that is another way of perhaps looking at the issue.
And Jeff, not only that, but is there an imbalance in areas of legal specialties? Maybe there are not enough lawyers working in areas that serve the public interest?
Well, sort of the answer here is both, that there is a need for specialists in our small and rural areas across this region. But there's also a need, Mark, for what I think of as the Main Street lawyer. Just the lawyer who's available for a variety of things to help with formation of businesses or to provide access to justice in both our criminal and civil arenas. And it's an important area, and it's one that's a problem across the country as well as in our region. So it's one that I think that's important for us to pay attention to.
How is this? Did you want to add something?
Well, I was going to say that actually, and if you look at, you know, lawyers and the different career paths, the majority of lawyers do go into private practice or work in a law firm. But even within that law firm community, typically it is in organizations of 2 to 25 attorneys. So again, speaking to the notion of the Main Street lawyer.
I think the Department of Justice has had problems too in the past year or so because of the tighter budget that the federal government is facing. So even at the government level, they're facing a shortage of lawyers, aren't they?
They are, and that's especially on the criminal side there. But in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, we have about 43 of our counties have only average of one lawyer in the county. That is one lawyer for every 1,000 people. And that's wow. an amazing shortfall, and it's one that law schools can be a part of trying to redress.
How is this affecting the legal system as a whole, Mina? Are the wheels of justice turning a lot slower because of this problem we're facing?
Not necessarily slower, but certainly it could be faster. You know, harkening back to the notion of, you know, government and how needs are being met at that level, for the last 5 years, we at Cincinnati Law have had a program called the Urban Law Fellowship Program that puts recent graduates to work for the City Law Department the first quarter of every year, which probably expands their staff by, I'd say, 5 to 7%. So, again, that goes to the notion of speeding the wheels of justice, that getting more, by expanding their staff to be able to do more to meet the needs of the taxpayers.
Just to add to what Mina had to offer, I think there's also a problem in these rural and smaller communities with providing equal access to justice, that the paucity of lawyers leaves a lot of folks unrepresented going to court or trying to redress problems on their own. And these are exactly the things that lawyers can help with and can solve. It's also a problem, I think, for economic growth. Lawyers don't just resolve disputes. We help people build things. We help create businesses. We help them expand and merge and improve themselves. And just the lack of lawyers, I think, inhibits to a certain degree the economic viability of some of the more rural areas, at least in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
And I have to think this affects people's legal rights, especially in the area of due process, your right to an attorney, your right to a speedy trial. All these things have to be affected by this.
We have seen a huge problem with juvenile justice throughout Kentucky. And these are huge needs for our citizens and for people in this region that go unmet. And it's just very important for lawyers to be available to help redress problems, to help work out solutions to very complicated matters. This is what lawyers do and do well. And I'm proud to say, to talk when we can about our rural practice initiative and what we're going to do at Chase to help solve this problem.
Mina, as an example, very few doctors start out in private practice anymore. It's just too expensive. Is that becoming true of new lawyers? Is it hard to compete, just too hard to compete with those large firms?
No, actually, because again, looking at the 50% or so that traditionally go into private practice, the majority of those, probably about a large number of those, I should say, are going to be in offices of 2 to 25. So again, the reality was that BIC Law, typically thought of as organizations of, depending on your market, it could be anywhere from 100 to 150 plus lawyers, that the reality is that the small firm has always been the biggest provider of entry-level employment in private practice.
Jeff?
Well, that's exactly right. But here's what's amazing about that I find about our lawyers who go to smaller rural regions and smaller law firms, and that we find that they are often the early adopters of new technology. It's not the big firms. We would think it would be the big firms, mm-hmm. but they tend to be a little more traditional, a little more, you know, set in their ways. But it's the folks who go to these smaller communities. They're the ones who are among the first to adopt new technologies, to look at docket management and document management issues, to consider virtual assistants and consortiums of law firms to share clients. I mean, it's those lawyers who are very innovative and do a lot of interesting things. And so I think there's really something to say and to teach to these students who want to go to these practice areas.
Those are really great points. And in terms of the technology piece, individuals working in a smaller law office are going to have to be more entrepreneurial. So they are adopting those. And, you know, if we're looking at trends and things on the horizon for the profession, the innovation in the technology space is going to be very apparent.
So there's actually a silver lining to this to some extent than it sounds like.
Well, I would add to that, there's more than there's another silver lining, I guess I'd put it that way, that, you know, as I travel around mostly Kentucky and I visit Eastern and Western Kentucky, I speak to these folks and with these folks about what they might call brain drain, or the fact that youth, you know, are moving away from those areas, young people are. And that's too bad along a number of fronts. It's sad along a number of dimensions. But, you know, lawyers are part of economic growth and they do provide value to their communities. And so as these rural regions look to you know, sustain their communities and to grow. Lawyers are a big part of creating that business climate and creating a good, solid method of dispute resolution, of defining property rights and doing all the other things that lawyers are trained to do to help these regions improve.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Mina, lawyers are a prime subject for a lot of TV shows and movies. And does the portrayal of lawyers in the media, does that paint a false image of what it means to work as a lawyer?
Absolutely. To the extent that one would think that a trial lawyer can review documents, develop a trial strategy, and deliver it in a courtroom in a 60-minute period of time, that certainly is not realistic. What you don't see, and what I believe prospective students don't understand, is that it's called work for a reason. There is no such thing as Google when it comes to law. And here's what I mean. That for the law, you are Google. You know, that the lawyer, his brain is actually the engine that processes all the information and spits things out. So getting people to understand that it is, it's a profession that does require you to think, and to spend a great deal of time thinking about it. In a society where we don't really pride ourselves, or we don't devote as much attention to thinking, if you will.
Is student loan debt maybe one of the problems that, because to be a lawyer, to be an attorney, you have to go through how many years of school is it?
It's 3 years of school.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
After you, that's postgraduate, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So is that one of the problems, financing?
Yes, it is a problem, and it's something that we're looking at every day, trying to make sure every dollar we spend is spent wisely. We fight hard, and I know other law schools do as well, to make sure to keep our tuition as low as it possibly can be, because these young people, by and large young people, are assuming a great deal of debt. Now, at Chase, our tuition for in-state residents is about $17,000 a year. That's a lot of money, but one can become a lawyer for less than $60,000 with a 3-year program. So it's a debt that can be substantial, but it can also be manageable. And my point of view is that one can still practice, it's still economically viable to practice in a smaller area, smaller communities, because you're not going to make the salary that one makes in downtown Cincinnati or other great cities, but one can make enough. And add to that the lifestyle benefits of that life, of just to be that Main Street lawyer that I talked about earlier. Lawyers in these small towns, Mark, they are often community leaders from the day they show up. And there's value there. So I'm encouraging our students, and I know other schools are as well, to consider meeting the needs in these other communities.
Mina, is this taking a toll, though, on people who are thinking about going into the legal profession? They're aspiring attorneys. They see what's going on, and then they say, you know, maybe I should think about going into a different profession. This sounds like it's like you were saying earlier, it sounds like too much trouble, too much work.
Well, certainly, law school enrollment in terms of applications have decreased. Cost certainly is an issue and will persist. For those who still want to be a lawyer, it is the only way to get to that particular outcome. And you know, law school is an investment in a career. It's not buying a job. And so as long as students continue to look at the long-term benefits, it will continue to be a very viable option. It's still a good time to go to law school.
Do you think the part of the problem might be too, Jeff, we need in teaching folks, it's not just about making money. There needs to be an emphasis on justice and helping people with their legal needs.
Oh, that's very much the case. And as Mina said, it's a career. It's a decision one makes for the next 40 years, so to speak, or 30 years of life, not the next 3 or 4. Also, we find more and more, this is true at our law school and true across the nation, that the JD is increasingly becoming the degree of choice for executive level employment. Even if one never wants to be a lawyer, doesn't want to practice law in that traditional sense, people with JDs, lawyer-trained graduates, are executives in companies and banks and the health and care industry, all throughout our economy. So it's a valuable degree, and more than ever it has value long-term. So I think we're going to see I have a very optimistic view about the future of legal education.
Well, what are some of the things that are being done around the country to address this problem?
The problem of?
Of getting attorneys, the mismatch, getting attorneys into the right places, finding them work. So
Well, I could start on that. We've recently introduced at NKU Chase our Rural Practice Initiative. And that's a program that we're going to mentor our students to talk to them about these opportunities in these smaller and more rural areas, to network with lawyers from those communities, help our students develop a business plan, talk to them about law management practice resources, have summer clerkships. Every year we find job opportunities from these communities that go unapplied for, not one application. So I want to change that, because I think people are missing a huge opportunity for a wonderful lifestyle, for a very interesting practice, and one I think they'll find profitable, if you will, in a very personal way, but also financially successful as well.
And at the University of Cincinnati, we endeavor to produce practice-ready graduates. And by accomplishing that, it means taking not only what students have learned in the classroom, but also putting them out into work settings and places where they can apply that, so that when they arrive on site, in terms of the entry-level market, they've actually done some of the things that they'll be called upon to do. And some of the activities that we provide that allow them to do that also address this issue of access to justice and the shortage in terms of delivery of legal services. Things like our clinics, we have five of those that would benefit the general population, from domestic violence to a business clinic that helps the startups and entrepreneurs, indigent defense, our Sixth Circuit clinic, as well as the Ohio Innocence Project, which is renowned in its own right. We undertake these activities in an effort probably to create what's known, or what's becoming known, as the T-shaped lawyer. So not just thinking like a lawyer, but the ability to do some of the other skills that they're going to need in the marketplace, such as project management, knowledge management, analytics, and the like.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And I'm curious, because I always use these terms interchangeably, and perhaps one or both of you can correct me. Is there a difference between a lawyer and an attorney?
Yes. Oh, that's a hard question. No.
I'll give it to the dean. He's a higher pay grade than me.
Well, I didn't prepare for that one. But yes, there is a difference. An attorney simply means a representative. So one could be a non-lawyer attorney.
Oh, okay.
For example, I could give you my power of attorney. You would hear that phrase. One could be an attorney at law, which means one's a legal attorney, a licensed legal attorney. And a lawyer is one who's trained as a lawyer and not necessarily a licensed lawyer, although we use the terms kind of interchangeably, of course.
Okay, so it has to do with a degree of education. A lawyer has
the education. That's the same education. Mm-hmm. Well, an attorney per se doesn't have to be a lawyer, but lawyers and attorney at law are used interchangeably. Call the bar. You'll be in good hands.
I'm curious if there's a role for paralegals to play in filling some of these basic legal needs.
Yes, there is that role, and paralegals typically work in Kentucky and in Ohio under the supervision of practicing lawyers, and lawyers are very astute, and they get astute very quickly at enlisting the aid of paralegals and having paralegals do the work that paralegals are trained to do. So it helps, and they're very helpful.
Now, in terms of how this has affected UC's College of Law and Chase College of Law, how has this affected your enrollment at each institution? Are you seeing more people coming into the profession, fewer people coming in?
I think in the state of Ohio, across the board, we have 9 law schools, and each would report a decline in applications, which is consistent at the national level as well.
And a similar thing's going on. We're part of that same regional and national trend. But for me, a big part of it, and I'm sure the same is true at UC, it's important for law schools, and certainly we've done this, to diminish or shrink the size of our incoming class to reflect the students that are applied to us. All of us could double our enrollments tomorrow by simply opening those doors, or triple them. But that's not anyone's goal. Our goal is to make sure that every student who comes through our program is worthy of our degree and who's going to serve the public well as a licensed lawyer. So, we law schools, people don't understand this, but people don't understand that law schools on purpose restrict enrollment for that quality control purpose.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk with Bill in Loveland. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hi.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I just am wondering if after law school, is there any sort of residency or postgraduate training that lawyers can pursue to become subspecialized, as in medicine? I'm a physician, and we have residency and fellowship opportunities after med school. And is that a process that lawyers also can pursue?
Okay, thank you, Bill, for the question. We appreciate it.
For lawyers, in terms of their postgraduate training, it becomes more a function of the employment setting. So in a law firm, each firm is going to have a training that they require of their employees and public offices as well. In terms of specialties and areas of expertise, there is a certification process, at least in the state of Ohio, that does require certain things in order to hold oneself out as an expert.
Final question, is there a market-based solution to this problem of not enough attorneys or not enough attorneys going into the right areas? Or is this something that's going to require government at all levels to step up and do something?
I think there is the market, if you will, can do its part. Some states, I guess, create tax subsidies, which I guess is a government intervention in part, but it's a market-oriented solution to incentivize lawyers to live in these small communities for a period of time. Some state bars will forego their bar dues for a period of years for lawyers who are locating in these smaller areas. Some states will and the federal government will have a reduction in the amount of indebtedness for people who go to rural areas and stay for a period of time. So we can create sort of a mixture of government, of private and public incentives for lawyers to do what the medical profession has done very well, which is to create programs for folks to go practice in these communities.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Mina Jefferson is Assistant Dean and Director of the Center for Professional Development at the University of Cincinnati College of Law, and Jeffrey Standen is Dean and Professor of Law at NKU Chase College of Law.